Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. We are here to discuss Sunderland's 3-1 win over, to give it its full title, Wayne Rooney's Birmingham, and just have a bit of a reflection on where things are and how the season's been so far, because we've got that international break now, so no immediate games to worry about in the future. Before we start, we're going to listen to some quick fan reaction from the game.
Okay, so I'm here with
Paul.
Hi, Paul. So 3-1 there. What do you think of the game?
I think it was a good game. I think we grew with it. I think as the centre half, Scott did better as the game went on. Looked a bit nervous at the beginning, but they grew with it and did all right. And I think he maybe nicked the goal as well, didn't he? I think.
Yeah. So obviously, we had a bit of struggles at home last season. Hopefully, we're trying to find our feet now and make our place a bit of a fortress in the Championship.
Exactly. Keep it going. I think a few players in January, I think we'll maybe push for the end. I think we might get towards the playoffs.
Obviously, still frustrating for the strikers to have not scored, but I think they're getting there, aren't they? We're getting a lot of chances.
Can they get closer than that, can they? I mean, roost off the bar. I think we've hit the bar 3 times in the last 2 games. It's going to fall. Once one gets one, we'll all get them.
Okay, so I'm here with
Alfie.
So, Alfie, a 3-1 victory for Sunderland this afternoon. What did you think of that?
Brilliant. From minute one, confident on the ball. Always, we were in their half pretty much first, 25 minutes or two. And then obviously, we got an early goal with Job. He was brilliant the whole game until he came off.
So, obviously, you can start to see that our home form's getting a little bit back on track now. Hopefully, we can do better than we did last season at the stadium. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we need to collect points at home and away, because later in the season, it'll obviously matter. And,
the best teams win, both home and away, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, still frustrating for the strikers, as I say. Roosan, really unlucky today, but it's going to come eventually, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought Roosan was brilliant today. We need to give him more time, I think. And again, Meyenda as well, first game won us, and he looked pretty sharp.
Thanks to Jack for that. John, myself, Stephen Goldsmith, also always got Gareth here. Evening.
Good evening.
Okay, on this Monday evening, lovely outside, isn't it?
Yeah,
very November,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It was very much I'm going to get blown off the A19 sort of weather. Yeah. But, you know, that would have been fine, probably. I would have found on the way to get to the pod in time. Wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah, it's just...
Dedication.
Just quite that's what that is. How
well, that's not...
Dark November.
that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's called the rotation of the earth.
Yeah. Well, we've got a winner cheer us up. We've also got Scott Wilson from the Northern Echo who's joined us. You were at the game the weekend, Scott?
I was, fellas. Yeah, I was. It was unseasonably mild, really, I thought, at the weekend. But yeah, you're right, it's a bit wet and wild tonight.
I think the early kickoff probably helped on that front.
Yeah. We haven't really had one of those bitter stadium alike nights yet, but they're pending, aren't they? Let's be honest. Yeah. There's going to be one between now and the end of the year.
West Brom was the winner last year, I think.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was.
And then weren't we 2-0 up in that game?
No, we were 1-0 up at half time and we lost 2-1. I think they scored 2 late goals. Rogic and.
Did we put 2 up?
No, we lost. Rogic and, what do you call the American lad scored? Who we can't decide how his name's pronounced.
We digress right at the start here, but Shrewsbury away was the coldest I've ever been at a football match in the history of the world ever. Were either of you at that game?
No.
Oh my God.
Is that the cup match?
Yeah. I should have even thinking of it. Any fans who were at Shrewsbury away will remember one of the... I think it was one that Sunderland lost, although they had a run of losing to Shrewsbury, didn't they? A couple of seasons in a row, I think. But yeah, it was absolutely freezing. Snow on the ground. Yeah. It's coming. It's coming.
I always like we always used to draw Carlisle in the third round of the FA Cup, it felt like, in the early 90s. And there was one year, I remember standing in the full end, and it was like, ridiculous. I think it was one where, I think we drew 1-1 and Derek Ferguson scored for us. I think I remember briefly.
We definitely got them a couple of years in a row.
It was freezing.
It took us to rebase, didn't it, both times?
Yeah.
I can still remember where I was stuck. That's like a weird thing, isn't it? It's obviously was significantly cold because I remember I've got a really clear mental image of where I was standing and like the goals and stuff like that. So, and it was like, what, 30 years ago or something? 30 years on, no.
No, don't. I was thinking about the 92 cup run earlier myself, actually, which, you know, I don't know why.
Can you still remember it?
Yeah, vividly. Yeah. I was 11-year-old. That's a prime age of remembering football matches and random stuff, though. Yeah. I remember Harry Redknapp commenting once how cold it was. I think it was 0-0 we drew West Ham, and he said, you just know you're going to go all the way up the sun and it's going to be absolutely freezing and it's going to be 0-0. That comment like sticks with us as well. He said that once. Hey, we are digressing. We've only got 20 minutes left now or something because we need to be done by 6:30. Before we talk about the match, timely news for us that Patrick Roberts has extended his contract because that was due up at the end of the season, wasn't it? 2026. Initial thoughts, Scott?
Well, I think, you know, fair play at them for getting it done before the kind of January merry-go-round started because it was edging towards that, wasn't it, really? You know, I suspect we're going to get Jack Clark stories in January, whether we wanted them or not. And I suspect we would have probably have got Robert stories had this not happened. So it's good that it's kind of got out the way. And it's got to be a positive that that he's staying because, you know, I thought, again, at the weekend, we saw in flashes just what he's got to offer. You know, he caused the Birmingham defence problems, I thought, when he was running at them, cutting in. He maybe hasn't got the goals yet this season and he maybe hasn't quite had the kind of standout performances this season. Obviously, Clark's really been the standout on the opposite flank. But in terms of what he can offer in the Championship, I think he's still a massively, a massively positive presence in that Sunderland team.
I forget how young he is as well. Gareth, I watched back, obviously recorded the match because it was on Sky and went back and just watched the goals and other bits and listened to what the pundit said at the end of the match and stuff. And when they were interviewing Roberts and Clark, man, and they're like, and they're saying to Roberts, are you the oldest person in the team at 26?
Yeah.
It's insane, isn't it? Because, like...
I mean, you wouldn't think Clark's as young as he is because he's very maturely spoken.
I think it's a generational thing, you know, Gareth. They're just cleverer than us, I think, now.
Yeah, I think, there's something to be said for the changes that came in, you know, a few years ago where footballers were kind of educated, weren't they? Basically, whilst being in the youth setups and stuff like that. I mean, that's a relatively modern phenomenon, I guess. And I guess that's maybe bearing out now in the media train and stuff like that they have. But yeah, I mean, we talked about Roberts the other week and his numbers, etc. But I still think he's kind of having a bit of a malbranch of a season where the numbers might not be, reflecting the positive contribution he has to the team with the way he carries a ball and gets us into positive areas and commits defenders and makes defenders think about.
And
start putting the ball in the box, like we said. This is the thing when you look at numbers. So we scored goals the weekend from crosses in the box when people have previously refused to do it. And whether we like it or not, in this day and age, I'll try not to go full dar here, but stats and data are seen as so important, as we know, certainly with recruitment, but in terms of performance, and players care about it as well. So Clark or Roberts or any wide player, their stats will look better if they decide not to put the ball across in the box and they instead go back to a fullback or they pull it to the edge of somebody like Neil or on the edge of the area because their stats go up. Their completed passes go up, but it distorts how useful it is just to put the ball across the box, across the 6-yard box, because it might get cut out by a defender, but you're going to get chances by doing it eventually. And this is what I feel like last season we didn't do it. We certainly didn't do it. I mean, yes, when Ross Stewart played, we did it. But then we avoided doing it. And Roberts has been infuriated at times this season for getting into the box and then just not cutting across for whatever reason. And we scored goals at the weekend by the ball getting put in the box on the floor.
Isn't there a stat, though, that's... So is it like a chicken and egg thing? Because isn't there a stat that says that most goals are scored from about 15 yards out from sort of just inside, well, sort of from the centre of the penalty area? So do teams target the penalty spot rather than cross it? Because that's where how many goals are scored, or more goals scored because that's where everyone plays because that's the stat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think some teams and some managers would shy away from getting the ball into the box early, if you know what I mean. You know, there's some teams, and probably even more so in the last few years, that it's so possession-based now that there is clearly an instruction that, you know, don't just lump it in there. Work it back, keep it, pull the defenders around, et cetera, et cetera. I think the ironic thing with Sunderland is that's not Tony Mowbray. Tony Mowbray is very much have shots, get the ball into the box. You're not going to score if you don't take that kind of chance. And so that's been, in a sense, the most infuriating thing about it that you say that, you know, I don't think Tony Mowbray is instructing his wide players to be reluctant to get the ball in the box if there's not really anyone in there, because everything that he preaches to us in his kind of press conferences, everything is, I'm telling these young lads, have a go, take a shot, get the ball in the middle. So yeah, I think that's where it, you know, it's kind of has felt frustrating at times, because I think Mowbray wants his players to do that.
Yeah, no, I think to be fair, it's been noticeable in the last few games at home in particular.
To be fair, though, you know, if you looked at Clark's numbers, I don't know what his assists are like, but he's obviously scored 9. I mean, he must be 14, 15 for the season in terms of contributions to goals. So, I mean, he's obviously doing something right, isn't he? I was saying that he'd have 20 if he was crossing it more regularly. Do you know what I mean?
It's been more of an issue for Roberts and Clark.
For Roberts, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Roberts, do you think Clark?
Because Roberts is really good. Clark's good. Because what's good about Clark is he cuts in. When he comes inside, he tends to shoot. Yeah. And when he goes outside, he does whip a good cross in, and he does do it. But Roberts gets into the box so often because players just can't take the ball off him. It's just glued to his feet. Julio Arcas probably the closest to that I can remember, who could just glide past defenders like they weren't there. And it's been, he gets in the box, and instead of just squaring the ball for whatever reason, he would hesitate and go back. And maybe I'm being harsh and he's thinking about stats on that, but you know, we know that comes into it, and the coaches and people looking at that. But there's been improvement on that in the last few weeks, definitely. And it's just nice to see us scoring from that again at the weekend. I thought it was really encouraging. Well, I want to start, didn't say start blabbing on for 15 minutes. Yeah. Obviously, the defensive situation. So we knew that Onana Ballard suspended, and then it looked like we probably were going to see Sergen. Well, we're not probably, because Sergen was named in the side, but you could have speculated about who was going to play there, because there's a case for both Sergen and Hume to play centre half, and the other one to go left back. I think we knew Huggins would probably go to the right, but then obviously Trent has had to be thrown in there. So initial thoughts on the performance of the two of them, because that was a concern at the start of the game, and that's not judging their ability or anything. The guys haven't started for us, and it's November. So yeah, there was always going to be issues there. Your thoughts on how they got through the game, Scott?
I thought that there were the odd shaky moment in the first half, both in terms of distribution and just in terms of their general positioning. But I thought that they definitely grew into the game. I thought they got noticeably more confident in the second half. And then I thought in the last 10 minutes or so, when Birmingham were thrown on the likes of Jukovic and Hogan and trying to be a bit more direct, I thought they looked pretty comfortable, to be perfectly honest. So, listen, Ballard is the best defender that Sunderland have. He's one of the best defenders in the Championship, I'd argue, or heading towards that. So he starts whatever. 09 divides opinion, doesn't he? I mean, I like 09 at centre-half. I think that just his commitment and his leadership are big attributes in the team that Sunderland are putting out at the minute. But I think that there's an argument that both Sealth and Triantis have shown enough to suggest that they will be pushing for a place in the second half of the season, and that's got to be good for Sunderland, hasn't it, to have those options there. I mean, you know, I'd be very, very surprised if, all things being equal, the first game after the international break, it's not O'Neill and Ballard back at centre-half, unless either of them pick up an issue. But I think that both Sealth and Triantis can look back on Saturday with a fair amount of pride, and I think they'll have learnt an awful lot from it.
What do you think on that, Gareth, going forward? Because it's on the face of it, it's harsh to drop one of them. But
do you think?
I don't want to be
accused of being negative.
Right. The thing is, okay. I think a loan move would help Triantis. Personally, I think it would be. I think he would be fine in League One at the minute, and it would be good to go and see him get a run of games. Sealed, I'm not sure. I can't decide because he looks impressive 1 minute and then he looks shaky the next, and it could just be down to a lack of game time. And at some point, like you were saying, Scott, I feel like Morgan needs to give him a couple of games in the first team, because we've seen these shaky starts before. Remember what Ekwa started like for us? We've seen it, and we've seen players and they've got come through it, so you've got to give them a chance. My instinct to say, you know, they're both not going to get games, so that's why I'll be saying I'll be leaning towards Travis.
Well, Elise is coming back as well. So
right. So I just think at some point he's got to give Sealed a try, and I don't want to sound... It's a difficult one. The 0-9 one is a difficult one because, like you say, Scott, he brings so much to the side in terms of... We mentioned Roberts being the oldest in the team there, and we know that 0-9 does... He brings that game management to it, and he talks players through, and his influence is important. Half of me feels like he should be punished and dropped for the penalty that he gave away that he's been trying to give away all season in his last game, and B, the fact that he couldn't see that game out without getting a yellow card. How he got booked so late was just ridiculous when he knew already that Ballard was going to be out for the next game. So that might sound petty, but I think from a man management point of view, he should be. There's an argument to say he should be punished for that personally.
But you know he's performing to 0-9. No, that's a thing. I know people might pull their hair out about it or be like, how can you say that? But he is performative. Like, yeah, he can have good games and he can play quite well. If he just got on with his job, that would be fine. And I know people would say, well, if you take elements away from people or do the job differently, but he is performative. He does daft stuff. He plays to the, you know, the gallery, doesn't he? That's his thing. And sometimes it gets him into bother. And I think, you know, that is an issue for him. And he should probably know a bit better considering he's, what, 29 years old or whatever. He's not a kid. And people seem to kind of go on like he's a Ben. He's not. He's the most experienced player in the side. So I'd kind of agree with you in that respect. But I think really what I've seen from the, if you're going to include the five centre-halves we've got, I would say that you'd probably be looking at Ballard, top of the list, Alessio, or 9. And then you've got Sealed and then Triantis. Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to say that Serkan's actually probably a better centre back than Sealed at the moment. But I agree with your point in that you never know. I mean, Ekwa sort of was pre Hull at the weekend, wasn't he? Sort of nothing he did seemed to come off. But like you said, I agree with you if you give people a chance. But I think my concern would be it was like blood in the water, wasn't it? As soon as like Birmingham weren't in the game, and as soon as they sniffed that, it was like, these guys aren't too confident, or they're a bit shaky. They kind of went right. They kind of give them a lift, and they like got after us, and they exploited it and scored in that sort of spell. And they were, a lot of their players were just completely unmarked at times and just running free, which, I mean, we got over it, but
they did tighten up. Like Scott said, they did.
They did tighten up.
Yeah, the first half an hour, they were. I was a little bit like, this is just erratic. They're just all over the place here. Yeah. But they did. Certainly, as I said, by the second half, they actually, the group in the game, this happens. They need minutes, and they need to play alongside each other.
The two things I would say on that is that I thought that the shakiest 20 minutes that Sunderland had before half time, yes, the defenders were being pulled around, but I thought that Ekwa just had a mad 15 minutes where he just seemed to give the ball away every time he got it, and that clearly didn't help.
15 minutes, generous, Scott.
Usher in there.
85 minutes, I think.
And then I think the other thing I would say is we're kind of judging Sealth and Triantis when, to be fair to them, they've been playing alongside each other. So it wasn't just that you had one of them inexperienced. You had both of them paired together. I think that either of them, if they were to play four or five games in a row alongside Ballard would look better, because I think that he'd make them look better. Do you know what I mean? He'd coax them through. He'd deal with certain balls that one of them was having to deal with, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a bit hard to judge them when they've been thrown in together for their first games.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think Ekwe, I mean, don't people think we're trying to shy and stuff, but I think we just had a bad game.
Neil didn't have a great day in the first half either, to be fair to him.
I just thought, I want to mention one thing that I thought was funny with Ekwe, though. And again, love him, and I just put in the bin, forget about it. It'd be fine next game, I'm sure.
Yeah, bad game.
Of course. I just thought it was funny when he kept going over to Patrick Roberts in the first half to offer some support for like Shawcott. There was the first time he did it, Roberts like did a double take, and it was as if say like, all right, like what? And Nick was just like, did I, man, I'm just having a stinker, so I'm just like, thought I'd just come over, see if I could make something happen. Like it was almost like that, where they were just looking at each other. Like Roberts was like, what are you doing here? And he was like, just going with it now, to be honest. And I thought it was quite funny, made me chuckle.
One of the positive, and we always say this, I think, to be fair, even though some people do seem to think we're phenomenally negative, the one thing you can say about this team is they'll always, like, if he, like Ekwe is having a bad game, he didn't go into a shell, he still was trying to do
still
the right
thing. Wanted
things.
The ball as well, you know, didn't hide away, wanted the ball, which,
exactly.
You know.
That's all you can ask. Like, it's all you can ask. Everyone has a bad day at the office, it's fine. You know, he's not, we've won the game, you know.
Yeah.
He kept trying to do what he's capable of, and it wasn't coming off. That's fine. Like, in my opinion, yeah, it happens. Sometimes you have a bad game, and you know he'll probably have a good game in the next game, because he can count since that whole game. He can probably count the poor games he's had on one hand, probably on three fingers, really. So there's no real concerns there, and he'll still be playing with a smile on his face. So it's not a problem. I think the real positive for me was the three forwards at the weekend, and it was interesting to see Burstow come on the left, and he was had a bit more of an impact on the game, I thought. Russian, I thought, he must, like, I'll watch him and go, he must be a nightmare to play against if you're like a defender, because he's annoying. Like, he's an irritant. Like, he's always trying to move, he's trying to bend runs all the time, he's strong. Still rusty, I think.
For another 90s reference, do you know who he reminds?
He reminds me.
Let's see if we're going to say the same player.
We're not thinking of a Sunderland player from the 90s. Yeah, yeah.
Mine's from the 90s.
So
okay. Go on then.
He reminds me of Stephen Elliott.
Okay.
I was thinking Craig Russell. So similar,
right,
I guess.
Okay. He reminds me of, he reminds me of Sleeves.
I think he definitely looks the best all round package at the minute of kind of all of them, doesn't he? Because he looks like the striker who could probably do a bit of everything. Like you say, he's strong, he can win a ball in the air, he can hold players off, but I mean, he's technically pretty good as well. That one that he shuffled onto his left foot early on to get the shot away that hit the pole, it's a lovely bit of footwork. So, you know, there's a lot to like there, I think. It's just like you say, he's raw, and like all, you know, like all strikers and all of them at the minute, he could just do with a couple of goals to get him going, really, couldn't he?
I think if you give him games. 6, 7, 8 games, I reckon we'll be saying he's got three and six, three and seven. It'll come for him. You can see it. It's there. His movement, I think, is a real. If you're playing in the team that we have with the attacking players that we have, and that goes right through the players that start to the bench. You know, Bellingham, Roberts, Clark, Aushish, Pritchard, Barr. He's going to get chances with that movement. He will. Yeah. And that, I think that's the issue we've had, where we haven't had players getting into the right areas to get onto things
yeah.
and make the runs. And yeah, he slipped over at Swansea. Doesn't look great, but it was a great run and a great pass from Bellingham to get him in. I'd rather, like, similarly to what we're saying about Ekwa, if nothing's happening, you've got a problem. If something's happening and it's not coming off yet, it's less of an issue. If it yeah. goes on for another 5-6 games, he hasn't scored, and that it probably does become a problem. But I feel confident with him, where I look at him and go, he's definitely got the required skills and to make an impact. I just think he needs time. And I think he's one of them as well. You know, you get, I think at Sunderland, if you run around a lot and you put yourself about, I think you do get a little bit more time.
Yeah, a bit of time.
Yeah, and I think because he does that, and he's, you know, he's strong and he doesn't mind getting stuck in. I think, you know, he gave the ball away in the first half and he tracked back 40 yards and nicked the ball back off them, things like that. You know, I think there's a lot of work with there, and it might take a bit more time, but I think if you just persist with him, it'll come. And I thought Meyenda, when he came on, very direct.
He knew the runs to make.
Yeah.
And he was occupying defenders. And,
yeah.
and that's the difference when we're not trying to be critical over him here, for example. It's just clear that he doesn't look like he's up to speed with the game, and that's it. And
well, Meyenda did more in that 10 minutes, 15 minutes than Hamid has done in every appearance he's probably made. And that's not a criticism of him. It's just
the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Talking about players needing load, there's one. Yeah.
And to be fair, I think it's, even when he's been nowhere near being ready, it's clear that Mowbray is most excited about Meyenda. That you know, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, from what he's been seeing in training and the little hints he's been dropping in at the presses, it's pretty clear that he excites him about just what he could be and what he could offer. Now, you know, just by dint of his age and even his lack of experience in France, he is going to be the rawest out of all of them. But I think Mowbray is quite excited by that, because I think that he's got a lot to work with there, and he can polish him and he can do this and he can do that. So, I'm quite excited to think of how he might develop over the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. Looks good. No, we haven't got long. A couple of mentions as well, because we're digging out with anyone. We're having a joke about a couple of players who didn't play great. I think Job Bellingham has been offered for a few weeks, and I think Try Hume has been offered for a while. And I thought
Hume was all right in the weekend.
No. If you let me finish,
they've
both been offered for a few weeks, and I thought they were both excellent on Saturday. Is what I was going to say.
I thought I would say Huggins could arguably be man of the match. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
I gave
Huggins our man of the match. I thought that both fullbacks played really well. I thought both defensively and at the other end of the pitch, I thought both fullbacks played well. But I thought Huggins especially, I mean, there was times when he was almost drifting into your blooming
centre forward. Yeah.
Brent Alexander-Arnold,
yeah.
What positions he actually played, kind of world of right backs that we seem to be living in. But no, I thought he was good. I mean, obviously the goal line clearance, there was one kind of last-ditch tackle he made that was really good as well, wasn't there? But I thought going forward, he looked a real threat. And, you know, he's just evolving really nicely, isn't he? He's kind of following the trajectory that Hume followed last season, that, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at him and thinking, he's a proper, you know, top championship fullback now. He's been good, I think.
It'd be interesting to see if he gets some game time for Wales. I know they've called him up the squad, and they don't have much depth at the minute at international level, Wales, do they? Hume loves a tackle. Their boy just loves a tackle. I don't think I've ever seen a player who loves a tackle as much as him in the modern era, to be fair. That one in the early on, where he hooked the ball around and won it back, was just...
Yeah.
That was a piece of art, that, honestly. Yeah. That was as good as watching any goal or anything. Because when he went in and he left the ground, you thought, oh, shit. And, you know, what's he done here? And then he come out with a ball and hooked it back on himself and turned away from it. That was just... absolutely class. So you really did, glad for those two to, again, young lads. So
you did smash Bakuna as well in the second half, which was nice to see because it was like he was backing up his mate, which I quite enjoyed.
Well, should we? I mean, we didn't mention that, did we? And
Are we going to do the? Let's. Have
I think
a go
let's
at
just. Quick, I mean, just maybe for the benefit of maybe of people who haven't watched the game or whatever. I mean, Bakuna, the first tackle he does on Roberts on the touchline is a yellow card as you're ever going to see in your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how he didn't get one for that?
Well, the second one's worse.
Then he does another. Then he does another one that's a yellow card, He kicked the ball away in the second half at one point. He'd done another bit of a dodgy tackle in the second half where you would think, well, you at least get a yellow card for the accumulation of tackles. And how he's left the field without a yellow... It's the most mystifying thing I think I've ever seen. I just could not believe what I was seeing, particularly that second occasion when you thought you can't lecture somebody and say that's your last chance when they've just had two yellow card challenges in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he books Roberts for... what he must perceive as petulance, but Roberts kicked the ball back to himself off the Harden. Like,
but even
so, it's some call that to say, you know, he could just, well, I'm kicking the ball back to myself. What do you mean? Keep myself busy.
He did it, but you can understand why he's angry. Because he's not being like, there's this whole thing about protecting players, and Bakuna has gone out. But the primary goal of hurting Roberts, he has. Like, he wants to hurt him. Like, he wants to, and when we did the live show the other week and Bally was on about it, it's like, you can't really do that anymore. And I don't mind a bit of, like, you know, aggression, but I think it's like, they're trying to take him out of the game, really. And he had a knock after that first challenge. Then he did him on the same angle for the second one. And it's just a bit like, well, if you're applying the letter of the law for somebody kicking the ball away, I don't know why you can't apply the letter of the law for two yellow card offence tackles. It's just stupid.
That was it. It felt like, you know, listen, Robert shouldn't get booked for that, should he? But, you know, going by what's been going on in the Premier League this season and this clampdown, okay. But if you're going to book him like that, you have to book the player for the tackle. It just makes absolutely no sense to let the actual, you know, the offence that can hurt someone go free and then book someone by, you know, okay, the absolute letter of the law of what is and isn't dissent these days. I thought it was baffling that he booked one without the other.
It's just very frustrating. I think it's frustrating for, you know, I know people, sometimes we get comments about a bit harsh on referees, and, you know, I've acknowledged the fact that, you know, I've acknowledged different facts about. There's a drunk side of us, obviously, on the reaction pod, which stated that all referees are perverts, which I do believe is true, because why would you want to do that? Get berated by 40,000 people on a Saturday afternoon and booed and jeered. You must be into it. It must get you going. But the reality is, and don't want to be like, you know, it's crap when you see, like, you know, videos of referees who are, you know, doing park games on the weekend we're not talking about, you know, it's completely unacceptable, but what we're talking about here is you've got 40,000 people who've come to a football match, and then it's like everyone can see something that apparently the person in control of the game can't. And it that's the thing that gets... Because I just had my head in my hands after that, where he kicked the ball away, off the Harden's got a booking, and Bakuna's just, you know, halved him twice in the space of 10 minutes and got away with it. It's, you know, it's a pain, you know, customer, as we are these days. Just to me, just a bit... It's difficult to take, because you're like, what is this? What am I watching here? Like, people make mistakes, but that's not even a mistake. Like,
I love Joey's reason. I'd love to just ask him and say, can you tell me which bit of these four or five incidents wasn't a yellow card?
Tell you what, you could monochrome the game, take all the sponsors off the kits, blur out the faces, ask every person in that stadium, those two challenges, are they, without bias, is that a yellow card? And I bet you 99% of them would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the Birmingham fans. I'm sure he kicked the ball away in the second half as well at one point.
Well, he did kick the ball away. He did. But then when Hume went into him and he went rolling round and he got booked straight away.
He kind of kicked out of Hume as well, didn't he?
He told him to get up, didn't he? I wonder if Hume got booked for dissent for telling him to like get up after doing him. But I like that, mate. I thought like it's backing up your mates. And that's something we've actually criticised Sunderland for in the last few years, where we haven't got around the referee enough. I know it sounds bad because, again, respect and all that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with going and I don't think there's anything. You just need to say, come on,
definitely.
What's the situation there? It's like, how can this be acceptable?
Yeah, just let them know, like, because almost like if nobody challenges him on it, then he might think it was correct. Oh, it must have been right. It mustn't have been a yellow card if nobody's going to go up and say,
we might have got a bit of look on the corner for the first goal, to be fair, which looked a bit suspect. But,
It was a goal kick, but it wasn't obvious. Like at full speed, like you couldn't really like behind the goal. I thought was a corner at the time. You can't really blame any of them for that. It was like really, really quick, and it's just took a double flexion and quickly went out. You need like slow. They were on Sky. They were slowing it down and doing a close up to show you. So that shows you everything. You know what I mean? That's
great flick on great flick for flicked header for the assist.
Yeah, for the goal. It was
really
excellent.
Was.
As was Hume's looping one for the second goal.
Brilliant header. Yeah.
At the other side of the ground, that looked like it was never going to keep that in. It looked like
it looked massively far too much on it.
Yeah. So that was good. Yeah, right, good. Nice to just get a routine win, isn't it? Didn't even play that well, but never really
looked well enough.
Yeah, we did. It was enjoyable. It's good. It's good to see us getting wins at home again as well, because that was a one thing last season.
Yeah.
As good as we were away from home, we didn't really transfer that across to home. So it's nice. Good crowds.
I think it's the third best home record in the league. I think I looked at that today, which is like you say, a decent turnaround from where we were at last season.
Good crowd as well for an early kickoff, and the bus strikes and everything, and you normally lose some for those games, don't you? In comparison, to what they might tell you, how many they might tell you there. To the reality, but it was good. It was a good crowd, and it's good to see. And it just shows that, you know, if you conduct yourself in a certain way, the way these guys are playing and the style of football they're trying to do, the people will get behind it. So we do need to turn into a promotion challenge, though. Let's be real. This club needs to be competing, right? Okay, thanks for joining us, Scott.
No, a pleasure, lads. All the best.
And we will be back whenever. We're to preview. Whenever. International just throws you off a bit. I can't even remember.
I can't remember.
Whoever it is, we'll be back to preview it. So as always, thanks for listening.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.